Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You heard Luke's story of the resurrection. The women come to the tomb. They are greeted by two men who are dazzling white. And the men ask them questions. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Don't you remember? And Peter, who is the only one who pokes his head in, is the only one who sees and believes from all the other gospel followers who had been with him all that time. It is a great drama. All of the stories are. But Luke begins his drama with shepherds and angels and mangers and a very poor mother and father and a baby who begins as an outcast. And Luke is not a historian, he is a storyteller, but his goal is not entertainment. This isn't a fairy tale. Luke is telling us the Easter story because we are to hear what God's doing in the world now and what God's intentions are for our lives. The Easter story has, of course, become the church's triumphant declaration that God has overcome death in some cosmic sense, giving us all hope for eternal life. But it seems that the claim of Easter is too often futuristic and limited to that part of our life that comes next. The hope and promise of eternal life is a wonderful one. It nurtures our soul. And Easter is a promise of eternal life. But it is so much more than that. Easter is more than even the church can proclaim. Easter is more than just a good idea for our future. I really want more than an idea, and I'm hoping and assuming that some of you do too. I want to experience Easter as more of an event than just a good idea on one triumphant Sunday, an event that helps me to face the powers of death, which have already got me in its grips in the here and the now. The powers of death that have us in their grips are many. We only to look around or watch the news. I know some of you have lost your work. We have economic brokenness. We have abusive relationships. We still have racism. We even still have slavery in our world, and sexism, and homophobia, and addiction, and war, and grief. The list of the powers over us are many. And Easter, it seems to me, if it's anything, should be an event that challenges these powers. Easter doesn't deny the reality of death. There would be no truth in that, would there? Rather, Easter challenges death, but not only as a futuristic good idea, but a here and now event. The Christ event, the one that offers us courage to overcome all the destructive forces with the ever-present God. When the women went to the tomb and experienced the Christ event, they were afraid and unsure. They put their faces on the ground. But ultimately, they believed. They believed that the teacher they loved was not there, that he was risen. And so they went and told the apostles, those that had been particularly chosen to be with him all that time. But the apostles did not believe. They thought it an idle tale. An idle tale is actually better translated babbling hysteria. The apostles thought the women said nothing but babbling hysteria. Peter did stick his head in the tomb, however. He saw the linen strips all by themselves, and he went home amazed at what had happened. The women were there, and they believed. They were the first witnesses, and they believed. And I want to tell you that amazingly, even with my rational, analytical, and progressive mind, I believe. I believe the truth of the Christ event because Christ has changed my life. And I know that Christ has changed many of your lives. And it isn't because we've seen the Shroud of Turin in the streets as proof. It's because from the beginning, there have always been people who embrace the resurrection as a life-changing event and not just a good idea for the future, but the here and now, and have put their lives on the line to witness to that resurrection. For over 2,000 years, people have experienced the power, and they've shared that with us. The two men in the tomb asked the women another question. Remember what he told you while he was still in Galilee? Remember? They were asked. The memories of Jesus' words connects the event of that empty tomb with the very human Jesus who ate and talked and suffered and died. Remember what he taught you. Remember what he said. Remember the healings. Do you remember the parables? Do you remember the bent woman? Do you remember the 10 lepers? If we remember, if we can remember, we'll understand the empty tomb also. Do you remember? Do you remember when God has been good to you? Do you remember when God has touched your life? Do you remember when you were healed? When your life was transformed? Do you remember those momentary miracles when your life was very blessed? When we remember what God has done in our lives, Easter is not a good idea just for one Sunday. Easter is the culmination of an extraordinary life, the life of Jesus. And the boundless gift of the empty tomb cannot be separated from the words and actions of Jesus the Christ. Because resurrection is always more than an idea connected to the unreal world or even the afterworld. It is the here and now world. It is about life abundant as we live. It is about bringing all the dead places in our lives and having them resurrected. The very first question the startling men in the tomb asked the women, why do you look for the living among the dead? Why do you look for the living among the dead? Well, because their friend had died, because they were coming there to help prepare his body for burial, and what is dead shall remain dead after all, right? Just like our fruitless searches and the corpses of our long dead ideas, our former visions we cling to, when we grasp too tight to the past or we stay in places we know we're not good because they feel safe, even when we experience those God-filled moments when we hear that still small voice say, let go, let go. Why do you look for the living among the dead? These witnesses, these holy messengers, are reminders that the Holy One dwells wherever new life bursts forth. It's not an idle tale, but an event that changed the world forever. The truth of this tale changed my life. And the question is, has it changed yours? If it hasn't, it's really worth some investigation. Because resurrection, brothers and sisters, is not an idle tale. It's an open invitation. It's a doorway to life where meals are shared with enemies and healing is offered to the hopeless and the powerful are called to do what is right and where we are transformed into new creations. But it is an invitation. We always have a choice. We can all leave today skeptical of the tale. We can ridicule and dismiss the nonsense of the tale and the day. We can just enjoy the pomp and circumstance and have a really great brunch. We can go on one day after day looking for the accuracy of the story instead of the truth of God's promise in the story. Or we can remember. We can remember all the times that God has resurrected hope out of the daily deaths of our very lives. We can remember, and then we can trust the good news of this day. The angels told the woman, he is not here, but he is risen. He has left this place of death. He is present out there in the world. He is present in here in our lives. Sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. I want to follow him into this future. I have such a hope for this day that yesterday I got a puppy. That wasn't the part you were supposed to laugh at. And I named her Easter. She is going to be my joy and resurrection even in the middle of the night. She is going to be the joy who's going to remind me every day of my Easter sunrise. I want to go into the trust and wonder of the future. And friends, I want to know if you want to go with me. Do you want to embrace the Christ event so that your lives may be forever resurrected? If so, we will travel this mystery together. May it be so for you and for me. Amen.